It is recording.
First of all, this morning I would like to welcome everyone again. Many old friends, of course, Zenith and other places, other parts of this community. Chag Sameach. And I think it was just a few months ago that we had the opportunity to enjoy Rabbi Lapin's discussion, and we all came away provoked by what he had to say, his kiddushim, his innovation. And we're privileged once again on Hanukkah this year to have Rabbi Lapin with us tonight. I want to thank my wife Lori, first of all, for helping to organize everything. And we have some out-of-town guests, Mr. Mayer from New York, who's with us, and Mark Kinnis from Chicago, who's with us, who we haven't had the chance to see in many years. Also, I would like to mention that Rabbi Rafa Lapin is starting a shiur, Motzei Shabbat. We have some flyers. That will be starting next Motzei Shabbat, I believe, for four weeks in a row. And we have the date of the those dates and the address.
Subject?
I don't know. And tonight's subject will be about to be announced. Rabbi Lapin.
Okay. Thank you, Roy and Mori, once again for hosting us at your home. Thank you to Dr. and Mrs. Stein for hosting us at a Shabbos. We had a wonderful Shabbos. It's so great to have my brother, Rabbi Rafa Lapin, with us, and my son. And it's wonderful to see you all. So thank you for joining us once again for this discussion. The topic is really about modernity. Does the term modern Orthodox make any sense? Can Orthodox be modern? Should it be modern? What's modern about it? And of course, what that has to do with Hanukkah is that was exactly the issue over the Hanukkah with the Hellenists. We like to think of the Hellenists as Reform Jews, but they weren't. They were probably modern Orthodox Jews, kind of in a way, in that time. It's not that they weren't religious. They carried on keeping their religion. It's just they adapted to modern times. And at that time, the forefront of modernity was Hellenism. And I'm not suggesting, Chas v'Shalom, that modern Orthodox people today are like Hellenists then. I'm just saying that the move to align with modernity is not a modern movement. Every generation, there's been a movement to align with modernity. There has always been modernity. And the challenges that modernity brings with us are not new. There are specific elements of modern challenges today that maybe are different from the challenges that we had then. But if you look at some of the tensions that took place during Hanukkah, during the period of Hanukkah, those tensions look awfully familiar. And what we're not going to deal with the topic in all its complexity and depth, but merely to touch on some angles of understanding the tensions between modernity and orthodoxy, and perhaps a slightly new approach to it. In doing so, there are two observations in the laws of Hanukkah that are interesting that we should start with. The one is in the brocha of Shu'asali Nisim La'avisenu Bayomim Ahem Bazman Azeh, which we say. It's a very strange brocha. So we say the brocha. It's the second brocha we say when we light the candles. It's a brocha specifically over Nes. And what is the wording? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaElam, so that part we're familiar with. She'asah nisim la'aviseinu, who performed miracles for our fathers. I get it. La'aviseinu. Bayomim ha'heim, in those days. Bazman hazeh. What's unusual about those last words? There's a missing vav. If we would say uvazman hazeh, he did miracles in those days and in our days, I would understand, kind of, because we're not really making the brocha over the miracles of nowadays, we're making the brocha over the miracle of then. So what's bizman hazeh relevant? It should say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Asah Nisim La'aviseinu Bayomim Ahem. Period. Or uvazman hazeh, and in this time. But She'asah Nisim La'aviseinu, who did miracles for our fathers then and now, what miracles is he doing for our fathers now? That was my son's Moshe's question, which got me thinking. The miracles aren't now. The second one is an interesting thing in Hanayros Halalu. Ve'ein lon reshus lehishtamesh bohem. We don't have permission to use the candles. I need to look at them. It's a strange wording. It should say ve'osur lehishtamesh bohem. It's forbidden to use them. Where else do we see in the halacha this idea of ein lon reshus? You don't have reshus to turn the light on Shabbos. What do you mean you don't have reshus? Osur. You don't have reshus to eat chazer. It doesn't say that in here. Osur. There are things that are mutter, and there are things that are osur, and there are things that you're chayev. And there are things that are reshus. We do have the idea of reshus. Things that are not chayev, and not osur, not obligated, not forbidden. They're permitted. So it's permitted to take a walk on Shabbos. You don't have to. It's not also permitted. It's reshus. So reshus we've seen, but where else in halacha do we have ein lo nu reshus? You don't have permission. Is it osur or isn't it osur? Is there an isur to use the candles? Or isn't there? If there is, why doesn't it say so? So let's look in the Gemara at the origin of that halacha. It doesn't say anything like that in the Gemara. In the Gemara, all it says is, Omar Rove, and the Chafalof on the days in Shabbos, which is the whole piece on Chanukah, Omar Rove, Tzorich Nera Cheres Lishtamish Loira. You need another candle to use its light. You need a shamus. Basically, that Rava gives us the halacha of a shamus. And he doesn't say you need a shamus because you're not allowed to use the light. He just says, in order to use the light, you need a shamus. Says the Rif, Shmam, you know, you can deduce from that that it's also lishtamish, that you're not allowed to use the light. A deduction of an isu. Why not just say it in the Gemara? And in the Haneiros Halalu, why not say it? So the Haneiros Halalu is careful not to say it because the Gemara doesn't say it. What does it mean, Ein Lanu Rishus? And why don't we have Rishus to use them? So Rashi says, Lehekeira. Because if you use the candles, it looks like it's a candelabra. It looks like it's there for illumination. And rather than for the mitzvah, you won't recognize the mitzvah. But the Ran says something different. The Ran says, you're not even allowed to use the candles for mitzvah. So it's not like the Friday night candles. The Friday night candles you can put on your table, and even if you have no other light, you can use the Friday night candles. We don't say you won't recognize that it's the mitzvah. You'll think it's just a light. They're there to give light. That's what the mitzvah is. Not so the Chanukah lights. They're not there to give lights. Dekivan she'al yedei nes she'nase b'menoiro tiknuho. Since they were mesaken, they legislated, they instituted the halacha of Ner Chanukah because of the miracle done with the menorah, asa'uho ki menorah. They legislated that we should treat the Chanukah lights like the menorah lights. She'in mishtamshin bo klal. And the menorah lights in the Beis HaMikdash, you weren't allowed to get any benefit from. In fact, they were not very easily visible. The menorah was lit way inside the Beis HaMikdash. It's not as if it was lit in a place where everybody could see it very easily. So it wasn't there for viewing, and it wasn't there for using. And just as that menorah we weren't allowed to use, so this menorah we're not allowed to use either. So the Ran says this because the Rif is the first person, that's the first source that says also, that you're not allowed to, and you're not allowed to. Where does that isur come from? Rashi is just commenting on the fact that you need a shamus. You need a shamus lehekeira. You need a shamus to show this light is for usage, implying that the other lights are for something else. What are they for? For mitzvah. So the shamus creates the heker. The shamus creates the distinction. It clarifies that the purpose of the menorah is not to give light. That's the role of the shamus. It's there to give heker. But the Rif says there's an issue. You can deduce Shma Mino She'osu Lishtamish. You can see from this Gemara that you're not allowed to use the Shabbos. And the Rif learns it not from the Gemara, in fact, that I just read you. The Rif learns it from the fact that you're allowed to use oils for Hanukkah that you're not permitted to use for Shabbos. And the reason you're not permitted to use it for Shabbos is because we're afraid you'll carry it from place to place, or you might fix it or repair it or whatever. And for the Chanukah lights, you can't use. So why would you carry them from place to place? Says the Rif, you see from there, you can't use the Chanukah lights. So he sees it from a very indirect source. It doesn't state it clearly. But the Rif states it. The Rif says also. Says the Ran, where's the source of this issue? It doesn't say forbidden anywhere. Where's the origin of this issue? Explains the Ran, the origin of the issue is in the Beis Hamikdash. That's an unbelievable idea. And Rav Moshe Shapiro points that out. That means that our menorah is a continuation of the lights that were lit in the Beis Hamikdash. This isn't a new mitzvah that was created on the 25th of Kislev in the year of the Chashmonaim. That's, it wasn't a new mitzvah. This was a mitzvah created when? When did this mitzvah originate? This mitzvah originated in Ba'al Oisecha, when Aaron HaKohen wrote, lit the first menorah. That's when the Isu Lihishtamesh Bohem was originated. When the Rif says, Shema Mina Osu Lihishtamesh Bohem, the reason you can't use it is not, as Rashi says, because of Heker. That's why you need a Shamus. That's fine. But the Isu Lihishtamesh Bohem comes from the origin of the Beis Hamikdash itself. So you've got to track that right down to the first menorah that was written by Aaron in the desert in Ba'al Oisecha. And that was not on the 25th of Kislev. When was that? That was in Nisan. And in fact, the Gemara says that the Medrash brings that the Mishkan was completed on the 25th of Kislev, and Hashem delayed its erection until Nisan, because Nisan was the time that Yitzchak was born, and Yitzchak represents Avodah, Torah, Avodah, Gemilus Chasodim. Yitzchak is the source of Avodah. He was born in Nisan, and Hashem wanted the Mishkan to be inaugurated in Nisan, so he owed Kislev one. And that's why later on the Chanukah Sahab HaChashmonoim took place in Kislev, and that's why we've got Chanukah in Kislev, says the Medrash. But the origin of it was, it should have been Kislev time, it wasn't. The origin of it, in fact, was Nisan in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, in the desert, when Aaron HaKohen first lit the menorah. So what does this mean, that our menorah is in fact, although it's different, it doesn't look like the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash, we light 8, the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash had 7 different halachas. Nevertheless, this element, something about the light of the menorahs that we light, that we lit tonight, and we light these nights, comes and originates, it draws its kedusha, it draws its kedusha, because what makes it also the Ishtamish Ben Kedusha? You're not allowed to use something that is kodesh. Hanei reis halolu kodeshem. What makes them kodesh? Just the fact that we light them, we don't say Vaneiros Shabbos, Haneiros Halalu Kodeshem, they're not Kodesh. What made these candles Kodesh? What made them Kodesh was the Hilchos Beis Hamikdash, says the Ran. The laws of the Beis Hamikdash made these candles holy, made these candles different and special. And from there comes the Isur Lihishtamesh Bohem. To understand that, there's an amazing Meshech Chochmah that I've quoted in an essay before on I Awaken, but I don't think I've spoken about. Eric, if I have, you tell me.
Okay.
And tell me what year it was and on what parish. This is in Ba'al Oisecha. Sorry, it's not. The Meshech Chochmah talks about the Pesach that took place in Mitzrayim, in the first Pesach, after they came out of Mitzrayim. And the Chumash says, you've got to keep it on that month of the month of Nisan, Ben Ha'arbaim, B'midbar Sinai. In the afternoon, you bring the Korban Pesach. In the afternoon, let's see if I can have one more. Trying to find it. It's in Parshas Ba'al Oisecha in Perek Tes. Barboso yoim b'chodesh hazeh bein arbaim ta'asu asoy. You must make it on the 14th day on this month. Says the Meshech Chochma, who akavonad ze lo yomru shuvbo al hanei shenaseh ben arbaim bepesach Mitzrayim, im kem halot b'midbar sinai nishtane hashkia. Asks the Meshech Chochma, that first Pesach, this was the first time that we were celebrating a Yom Tov as a nation to commemorate an event. Shavuos would come later, and Sukkot and all these things would come later. This was the first Yom Tov. So he asks a very modern question. He says, in the Midbar, the time of Shkia would not be exactly the same as it is in Mitzrayim. So if you're supposed to commemorate an event that took place at sunset time in Mitzrayim, the year before, should you keep Egypt time or Sinai time? And of course, the difference between Sinai and Egypt would be very small, so that's why the question is really interesting and modern. But the question becomes much bigger when you're talking about Los Angeles. When are you supposed to keep Pesach when the Korban Pesach was being eaten in Israel, or would be? And should we keep Israel time? So if the Korban Pesach would be eaten that evening at 8 o'clock at night, then we should be eating it, then here in Los Angeles we should be having our Seder the day before Pesach at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then we're aligned. Why isn't it so? It's a great question. If we're actually keeping an event that took place and we know how, to what degree we link into the time, and you're supposed to feel that at that time it actually happened, but you're out of alignment. You're in a different time zone. Says the Meshech Chochma, based on that pasuk, Lachein Omar ben Abarbaim b'midbar Sinai. That's why it says in the evening of in Har Sinai. It's talking about time. Why is it relevant to give us the place? Shelo tabitu al ben ha'arbaim me'asiyas ha'pesach harishon. Don't try and time it according to the first Korban Pesach, which was brought in Mitzrayim. She'azman hu kebemokim ha-mitzvah. Time goes by the place of the mitzvah, not by the place where it originally happened. V'zeh klal godol ba-Torah. And he goes and says, this is a great principle in Torah. Not even in halacha. This is a principle of Torah. Why is this such an important principle of Torah? What does it mean? What it means is that our relationship to time is something very unique and different. There are two dimensions of time. There is what I call the yom of time and the zman of time. The yom of time is a particular date. A date fixes a coordinate in time. So what's tonight? The 29th of Kislev? Is that right? Is tonight the 29th of Kislev? 5,771. That's a coordinate in time. And we could say 8:45 p.m. That tells us exactly what time it is. This time will never come again. It has never been before, and it will never come again. It's one of. It's a coordinate. It's a moment in time. And we can pinpoint that moment. And if we add a place, and we say in Los Angeles, then that gives us the time zone as well, and we know exactly where and what time we're talking about, and we can calculate what that time is anywhere else in the world. But then there's a different thing which is called Zman, and that is, this time, this 29th of Kislev, happened last year too. And if you can imagine time, not on a linear line, from point A to point Z, starting at the beginning and ending at the end, but if you can consider it more as a spiral, and think of our capability of drilling down the spiral at any point along the circle, and being able to experience time on each layer at the same time. So when we're on the 29th of Kislev, well, let's talk about the 25th of Kislev, first night of Hanukkah, we can experience the 25th of Kislev in every year that ever was. That's what it is. That's what Zman is. Zman doesn't mean a moment in time. Zman means an era, a period that has existed throughout time. So when we say, She'oso nisim la'aviseinu ba'yomim ohem ba'zman hazeh, we don't say ba'yomim ohem ba'yomim ha'ile, or we don't say ba'zman ahu ba'zman hazeh. We say ba'yomim ohem ba'zman hazeh. In those days, at this time, because time is universal. Time we don't lose. It wasn't that time. It didn't happen in that time. It happened in those days. History is days. But time is permanent. The 25th of Kislev happens every year, and every year we can be there. That's what we have the capability of doing. So if we understand the Meshech Chochmah, when the Meshech Chochmah says, when you're at the 25th of Kislev, 5,771, you're at the same place in time as you were 5,770 and 2,000 years ago, you're at the same place in time, so it doesn't matter where on the time zone you are. So if you're in Los Angeles here making Havdalah on Shabbos Parashas Miketz, 5,771, you're making Havdalah at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, at that same moment, Jews all over the world are making Havdalah from a mitzvah perspective. Because from a mitzvah perspective, you don't have to break things up into units of time that are separated. Because in that area, time is all coordinated. So the time, Motzei Shabbos, Parashas Miketz, that's a universal time. It happens simultaneously all over the world. And not only does it happen all over the world, but Motzei Shabbos, Parashas Miketz last year is also happening now. And the year before is also happening now. Because you're able to synchronize different times and bring them together into one moment. And the thing that makes that possible is a Maaseh HaMitzvah. A mitzvah does that. That's the mechanism, that's the vehicle through which you can coordinate and synchronize different times into one moment, different yomim into one zman. And we've got to be able to think of time in those two dimensions and to be able to bring them together. That's what we can do with a mitzvah. That's what a mitzvah can do. So when you're doing Havdalah, and you've got children in Eretz Yisrael who did Havdalah 10 hours earlier, from a mitzvah perspective, it's happening at the same moment. In the world of halacha, in the world of mitzvahs, those two things are happening at the same time. They're both happening at Motzei Shabbos, Parashas Miketz, 5,771. That's a moment in time throughout the world. And just as throughout the place it happens simultaneously, so throughout the years it happens simultaneously. So my children often ask me, because I travel all over, and they're all over the world, and I'm sure you've had the same kind of experiences, what happens when I tell them I send them a bracha every Friday night, which I do this. It's not fair. Only the kids who are where I am get the brachas on Friday night. And I say, that's not true. On Friday night, I send the brachas to everybody. And they say, yeah, but by the time I send the brachas, it's already Shabbos morning, or in another place, it isn't yet Shabbos, but it isn't so. I send the bracha when, for me, it's Erev Shabbos, and they get it Erev Shabbos. That's how they get it. That's because those things happen in a synchronous way. And that's why one can bring time together. It's the most unbelievable concept when you start to think of it. And we'll take it a little bit further. Let's look at one other idea where we see this in the Chumash. And that's in Parashas Shlach Lecha. After the Meraglim come back, it says, Vatiso kol ha'edo vayitnu eskeilom vayivku ha'om balayla ha'hu. The Edo gave the crowd, the community all cried. They raised their voices, and the nation cried that night. And you know the Chazal, that it wasn't just people there that cried that night, that Hashem said, if you're crying for no real reason, I'll give you reason to cry, and that was Tisha B'Av. So how does that work? And the Orach Chaim says that if you notice the difference in the usage of words, there's an extra word here. It says, "Batiso kol ha'edo vayitnu eskeilom," and the whole community raised their voices. It should say, Vayivku balayla hahu, and they cried that night. It adds a word. Vayivku ha'om, says the Orach Chaim, but we've already been told who the subject of the sentence is. We were told it was kol ha'edo. So all it has to say is, Vatisa kol ha'edo, vayitnu eskeilom, vayivku balayla hahu. That's it. And the community cried that night. And the people cried that night, says the Orach Chaim, because the nation are not just the community that lived then. It says, am. It means the nation that existed in every generation thereafter. Am is not just the people. When we talk about the people of Israel, we're not talking about the people of Israel who are alive today. We're talking about the people of Israel who ever were and ever will be. That's the Am. No other nation has that concept of nation. In every other nation, you talk, who are the citizens of the United States? They're the people who are alive today. What about the people who are not yet born? They're not citizens of the United States. And the people who used to be here and are now dead, they're not citizens of the United States. Only the living people are. But with us, every Jew who ever lived and ever will is part of the nation of Israel. And if the Torah says Vayivku Ha'am, that doesn't mean the community. The community cried because of the Meraglim. The Am cried because of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. That became a time for that crying. So what were they crying about? They weren't just crying. When Hashem says, I'll give you something to cry about. I don't want you to cry for nothing. So that means even that night, centuries before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, they were already crying for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Because time gets synchronized. Just as you can work backwards and you can say on the 25th of Kislev, 5771, we can experience something that took place thousands of years ago, so we can also experience things that are going to take place in years to come, which is how the Ovis kept the Torah. You know, we know that Avram and Lot were keeping Pesach long before the Jews were even in Egypt. Because once you've got this concept of time, you can work with a spiral, you can work in both directions with the spiral, if you have the ability to perceive time ahead. Which is what a Novi is. That's what a prophet is. Just as we can look at time backwards, a Novi can see time forward. And he can see the 25th of Kislev, 5,800, 5,900. He can see that. He can experience what's happening at that moment. He's tuned into the time. And we can't tune into the time of the future because we're not Nevi'im, but we can tune into the time of the past. And we can empathize with the past, which is why the Torah doesn't just list the halachas. Torah tells the story. It gives us context. Because the mitzvahs are not just about doing an action and checking it off the list. The mitzvahs are about connecting with everybody who's done that mitzvah throughout history. Back to the origin of the mitzvah. And that's why the run is so interesting. Tracking back the mitzvah, we do it on Chanukah, back to its origins. The reason that Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamish Bohem is because we never did have Rishus. These new candles, these new lights that were instituted at the time of the Chashmonoim carry with them the same assumptions from before. And just as they were Kurdish, the Neiros Haheim were Kurdish, those candles, those lights were Kurdish, so are ours Kurdish. Because this is a continuation of something that started with Aaron in the Midbar. And the Ramban comments, in fact, when Hashem says to Aaron, remember, the Nesim were bringing all the korbanos. There was nothing for Aaron to do. They each brought a korban to start off the Mishkan. And Aaron was very upset. And Hashem said, don't worry. They're only bringing korbanos. And the korbanos will only last as long as the Beis HaMikdash is around. But there will come a time when the Beis HaMikdash will not be around. You're going to start off the process of lighting candles, of lighting the menorah. And that will persist thereafter. Ask the Ramban, but the menorah also stopped. When the Beis HaMikdash was no more, there were no korbanos, there was no menorah, there was no shulchan, there was nothing. None of the avodas of the Beis HaMikdash continued, including the lights. So what's Hashem comforting Aaron with? Says the Ramban, clearly he's talking about the Chanukah lights. So why is he comforting Aaron with a halacha that will be instituted by the Chashmonoim thousands of years later? So we see the same idea, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, you see the same idea, that just as the Ran says, the origin of the issur of using the lights comes from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so the whole concept of lighting Chanukah menorah comes from Aaron HaKohen, from the original lighting that Aaron did. So when we light this, it's not just commemorating a historic event that took place in the time of the Chashmonoim. When we light the candles, we're actually fulfilling, we're connecting with the avoda of the hadlokos neiros, the avoda of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash that used to take place every single day. That's what we're connecting with. And we need to be able to create those connections. And the Torah gives context and stories because through stories you empathize. We've got to feel the Chashmonoim. We've got to feel what happened then. We've got to relive that. It's not only on Pesach that we relive. Sukkot we relive. Pesach we relive. Chanukah we relive. Rosh Hashanah. What do we relive on Rosh Hashanah?
Creation,
the Akedah, all these things that come back to life for us because that's the moment in time. We can actually go back, we can mine as deep as we want to go in that moment of time and go through everything that took place at that particular moment of time. That's the richness of our history. Every single day we can mine that day and access all the emotions, all the suffering and all the joy and all the life that took place, the tragedies and the peaks of excitement and human achievement that took place on those days. We can access all of that on each day of our life because it's a spiral and we can mine down. We don't only have to live the moment in which we are. We live the moment. You know, people talk, particularly in Eastern philosophy, about living in the moment. We live in the moment, but we define the moment differently. When we talk about living in the moment, we're talking about this moment in all its eternity. Not just the moment now, that's two-dimensional moment. We're looking at moment as three-dimensional. We're looking at this moment in all its eternity. This moment doesn't just mean what I'm experiencing this minute right now. It means what people of my nation experienced in this moment last year, the year before, all the way back to the creation of the world. We're able to access and to feel that richness of being as we go through the year and as we go through the calendar. And where does that really leave us with what kind of understanding? It leaves us with an understanding that there really are two elements of, in every area there are two elements. The one, what Moshe Shapiro explains very beautifully, is the difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. The Beis HaMikdash had a specific place, it was for a specific time period, it will be rebuilt again, but it had certain, there was a time for the Bayis Rishon, there was a time for the Bayis Sheni, there will be a time for the Bayis Shlishi, a beginning, a middle, an end. It has a particular place. If you want to come to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to go. Beis HaMikdash is not coming to you. That's one kind of Kedusha. Then there's Mishkan, which is a different kind of Kedusha. Mishkan went with the people wherever they were. It didn't have any time. It didn't have any space. It was wherever they were, whenever they were. Even while they were carrying it, even while it was folded up and they were carrying it, it was still there. The Kedushas Mishkan was still there, even during the time that it was folded up. So that's a completely different element. Mishkan and Mikdash. Mishkan was not just a temporary tabernacle that was used until they got to Israel and could build a Beis HaMikdash. Mishkan is a concept that we've carried with us ever since, which is the concept that enables us to access Beis HaMikdash ideas even today. We can use concept of Mishkan. So when we daven, Tefillah b'makom avodah emedesa, Tefillah is in the place of Korbanos. We can't bring Korbanos, but we can access Mishkan type, the Mishkan type of portability. And portability in Jewish concept is not just portability in place, it's portability in time. You can carry it with you through the generations, just as you can carry it with you from place to place. So imagine you're in the desert, you're camped, there's a Mishkan. And you go into the Mishkan and you see the temple service and you see the Korbanos being brought and you see the Kohanim doing their things and lighting the menorah, and that's all very beautiful. A few months later, you're in a different place. And you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you go into the Mishkan, and you see the Korbanos being brought and the menorah being lit and everything being done. You don't say to yourself, I'm in a new place, I'm in a different place. You're in the same Mishkan you were 6 months ago. Yes, but now I'm in this part of the desert, and 6 months ago I was in a completely different place. It doesn't matter. The Mishkan is portable. It's the same Mishkan. It comes with you. You're in the same Mishkan. Exactly the same happens with time. The time, yes, this happened 2,000 years ago, but you bring it with you. And you can access it today just as you can access it then. You can do that with memories. You can relive memories from years ago. You can bring them back to life and feel what it was like at that time. That's why it's a very good exercise, by the way, to journal, to write down how you're feeling. Because it's wonderful years later to open it up again and be able to recall, write down detailed descriptions. Because then you're able to bring back to life an experience. We use photographs sometimes to do that. Look at photographs and look, but it's much better when you're using your own words. And if you've had a wonderful day, or you've had a special experience, or a distressing day, to be able to describe the texture, what it was like, what the things around you were, the sounds, the colors, the fragrances, the smells, the feelings, what it felt like, the emotions, and you write that down. And years later, you can read that and you can relive it. You bring it right back to life. You can take something from the past and bring it into the present. Well, the Jew can do that even with experiences that took place before they were born. And people are beginning to understand, the New Age psychology is beginning to understand that there are a whole lot of subconscious memories that we have with us that come from before our birth. And they now recognize that some of them come from previous lifetimes. So the understanding that we can bring old stuff with us into the present is becoming more acceptable. In Torah, we've got the idea. It doesn't even have to be something that I experienced, although we were all at Sinai. So there's a part of us that was actually there. We're part of the same Am. The Am is connected one to another. We're part of one organism. Am Yisrael, Kol Yisrael, Arevim, Zeh L'Zeh means we're one organism. We're one body. And just as your skin, you know, there's a part of your skin that's here today, and it disappears. It dies off and new skin regenerates. Are you the same person you were a few years ago? No. They tell me even if you fly on an old aircraft, there's nothing of the old aircraft that is still there. When you fly, if you fly on a Boeing that's 10 years old, there's nothing of it that is 10 years old. It's all been replaced by now. And the human body is the same. There's nothing of the body that is exactly the same. The cells die and they regenerate. But you still feel? So what is it that is feeling what happened 10 years ago if I'm not the same person? There's nothing of me that was there 10 years ago. How can I recover that whole feeling? Because I am the same. I'm the same organism. It doesn't matter that the cells have changed. The organism is the same. And it's the same with a nation. The fact that there were different individuals 1,000 years ago doesn't mean that the individuals today can't feel. The nation feels the same pains. The nation has memory. The nation has muscle memory. The nation has genetic memory. The nation has generational memory. And we as part of that nation can access it. Doesn't matter how long ago it took place. Just as we can access our own memories, even though that the cells of our limbs weren't there, so we can access the memories of Am Yisrael, even though we physically weren't necessarily there. We can access that. And that's what we need to do. And the vehicle of doing that are the mitzvahs. That's the idea of Mishkan as opposed to Mikdash. Mikdash is a specific moment in time and a specific place in geography. Mishkan travels with us through time. And that's why it's in the Mishkan. When Aaron lit those lights in the Mishkan, that was what gave perpetuity to them. And the Chashmonoim re-accessed those lights. They found the oil with the Chosem Kohen Godol. They found the oil with the signature of the Kohen Godol on it. Kohen Godol was the descendant of Aaron. And that carried through all the way. And that's what we still light. When we light our Chanukah Licht, that's what we're lighting. We're accessing all of that going right the way back to Aaron when he lit those very first candles. And that's when I started off saying we'll talk about modernity, when one understands the mitzvahs that way. One begins to understand that modernity is not the lens through which to look at halacha. Modernity is irrelevant to halacha. We use modernity to establish facts, but not to establish halacha. So, for example, if there is a halacha, I need to know whether or not a particular person is alive. I need to know it's a fact. Can I use DNA to tell me whether that person is alive? Yes, I can. I can use DNA. That's something that modern science enables me to establish a fact. Once I know the fact, I can deduce certain halakhic results from that. So if there's some blood and we do a DNA test and it's absolutely clear that this DNA belongs to a particular individual, we can probably allow, I'm not sure about halacha, but I would imagine if we have an absolute clear DNA proof that this blood belonged to a particular individual, we could probably allow his widow to remarry. Regard her as a widow and not as a wife, and allow her to remarry. But to use halacha, for example, if we're going to use halacha to decide, if we're going to use modern science to decide halacha, that doesn't work. So for example, there's a halacha that one does mayim achronim. There are reasons given in the halacha. Now, they used to use a certain salt at that time, and if you touched your eyes after using the salt, it wasn't very good for your eyes, so they did mayim achronim. Well, now that doesn't apply. We don't use that kind of salt anymore. So does that mean we can dispense with mayim achronim? Yes, you can dispense with mayim achronim, but you're throwing out one of the vehicles of accessing 5,000 years of Jewish history. That's what you do, because that's what the mitzvahs are for. No matter what reason is given for a mitzvah, there's another whole dimension of a mitzvah. And a mitzvah is, this is something that originated a long time ago. So say, for example, the Neiros Chanukah. So can we say if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we won't have to keep Neiros Chanukah because now we've got the Beis HaMikdash again and everything's fine? No, we probably will still keep Neiros Chanukah because there are a whole lot of other elements in it. This is our continuity. This is our ability to access things that happened a long time ago. And so with many of the things that we keep, we can't use modernity to influence the outcome of halacha other than to establish facts, but not to change halacha, because halacha has nothing to do with modernity. Halacha has much more to do with antiquity. The antiquity, it's like taking an antique and saying, can I replace with this something new? I've got a beautiful antique clock. It's 200 years old. It was in I don't know what, some king's palace. And it was used and it survived all sorts of wars and it traveled all over the place and it has a long story to it. Can I replace that with one that keeps better time? Of course I can. But I lose the antiquity. I lose my connection with the past. I lose the story. I lose my culture. When you start using modernity to change Yiddishkeit, you lose Yiddishkeit. You create something else. You create modern Orthodox. Fine. New religion. It's happened before. It's not Yiddishkeit. And we need to be careful of that. We can be modern in our lifestyles. We can engage with the world in a modern way. We can talk and communicate in a modern way. But we can't allow modernity to change the soul of who we are. Because the soul of who we are has 6,000 years of history. See, the soul of who we are doesn't start today. And in every mitzvah that we do, not in everything that we do, when we're using technology, we can be modern. But when we're putting on our tefillin, we don't want to be modern. It's interesting, when I was reading a book on my iPad a few days ago, one of my children said, isn't it interesting that will never happen to a Sefer Torah? Never have a Sefer Torah on an iPad. The halach is built in such a way that the Sefer Torah will never, you know, books might become archaic. Modernity might destroy books. There won't be such things anymore. Just like one of my kids, I'm sure you've had the same experience. I was talking about a typewriter, and, you know, used to have a ribbon. And she said, what was the ribbon for? She had this picture of, like, a ribbon around it. Why would you put a ribbon around a typewriter? She had no concept of what a typewriter was. So I suppose the same will happen with books. People have no concept of what a book was and why you had to turn pages and why it was so okay. But it won't happen with the Sefer Torah. It's not going to happen. Because then when it comes to mitzvahs, it's the antiquity of the mitzvah that is far more valuable than its modernity. And when we start to use modernity to change halacha, we're onto Hellenism. And that's what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is getting back to the lighting of the menorah by Aaron HaKohen in the Midbar, not just by the Chashmonaim at the end of Second Bayis, at the Second Temple. Not only that, it goes right back. We recapture the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. HaNeiros HaLolu Kodeshim. These candles are Kodesh. What is the source of their Kedusha? Who gave them Kedusha? Aaron gave them Kedusha. That's where that Kedusha comes from. And we access that Kedusha. Although it's not the same menorah, not the same light, not the same halachas, but we access that same sanctity. We're able, through the menorah, through the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiros HaMenorah, we can access that same Kedusha. That's unbelievable. The Kedusha of that moment, instituted by Aaron. And that's why Aaron's comfort. Aaron sits in Shomayim, and he sees us lighting candles and saying HaNeiros HaLolu Kodeshim, and realizing, and who gave these neiros kedusha? I did, so many thousands of years ago. That was my gift to Klal Yisrael. And God gave me that gift when I was upset that I couldn't bring a korban at the inauguration of the Mishkan. Look what I've done. And he's able to see that, and we're able to access that. We wouldn't want to destroy that. So could you use an electric light for the menorah? So you could go into a long technical halachic discourse, and maybe you can prove that you can. That you can have an electrical menorah and you can turn them on. Maybe you can prove that you can. But you'll lose the Kedusha. You'll lose the ability to connect with what Aaron did thousands of years ago and the Chashmonaim did a few thousand years less ago, but also a long time ago. That's the way that it is with everything that we do in Halacha. All our Torah, and that's why the Meshech Chochmah says there, Klal Godol Batoiro. To understand that when you're linking in at a particular time, you're linking into that time throughout the world. And as the Orach Chaim says, when you're linking into a particular time, you're linking into that time throughout the ages. Time, mitzvah time, transcends place and it transcends history. And that's the meaning in She'oso Nisim La'avisenu Bayomim Ha'heim. Yes, he did the Nisim to our forefathers, Bayomim Ha'heim, in those days, historic days. But it's Bazman Hazeh. We can access those same miracles that he did for his father in this man, in this time of Kislev, because Kislev transcends place and Kislev transcends time. And with that, we'll take those ideas into Chanukah. Enjoy Chanukah on some different dimensions and take Chanukah with us into the rest of the year. and learn how when we do, when we light our lights on Friday night, when we put on our tefillin in the mornings, when we daven Shmona Esra or say Kriya Shema, whatever mitzvah it is that we're doing, to realize we're connecting with every other Jew in the world that's doing it that morning, whether it's 8 hours later or 8 hours before, we're connecting with every Jew who puts on tefillin at that time. Every Jew who's lighting Chanukah, who's lighting Shabbos lights at that time, we're connecting with them. But not only with them, we're connecting with anybody who ever did. Is part of what we're connecting with and accessing. And that's why we write our tefillin the same way as they wrote their tefillin 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. And the way we light our Shabbos licht, same way they did. Each one of these things, can you be Yotze Shabbos lights with lights? You probably can, but we don't. We light them the same way our grandmothers did and our great-grandmothers did, all the way back to Soro Imena, to Avron's wife. That's how she lit the Shabbos licht. We do it the same way, because mitzvahs are the vehicle with which to access history. And you can't access history with modernity. You can only access history with faithfulness to Mesorah, with an absolute faithfulness to our tradition, to our customs that are rooted very, very deeply into our own antiquity. So a very good Chanukah, a good Vach, and a good Chanukah to you all.
Thank you.